Well, hey, I hope that you came ready to hear from God's word today. We may be virtual, but I believe that God wants to speak powerfully to every single one of us, regardless of where we're at. We're starting a brand new series called What You've Been Waiting For. And I think we could all admit that this season where we're at right now is not what we've been waiting for. And so what I want to do this morning or wherever you're at is speak to us from a perspective of faith. Because when I look around, I don't see a whole lot of faith. I see a whole lot of fear. You turn on the news, you look at your social media, you open up your news feed, whatever it is, you see that the economy is taking, you see people getting sick, you see things are being closed and canceled, and on top of all of that, all of the kids are at home, which is like trying to herd a bunch of drunk squirrels. I don't think this is what any of us were hoping for, and yet this is a new reality that we're facing today. And so what's our response to it? Some people ignore it. They just pretend like nothing is happening. Then there are people on the other side that are people are so consumed by it that now they're on medication because of it. And so what do we do? Well, let me start like this, that as followers of Jesus, our response and the filter through which we look at the world in any situation or season is always going to be different because of what Jesus has done in our life than the way that most of the rest of the world is looking at the situation. In fact, we've been looking at this verse a lot lately, and I just want to read it to us again. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. In other words, don't do what everybody else is doing. Don't react like everybody else is reacting. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. What does this verse tell us? Well, it tells us that we aren't going to react like the rest of the world is reacting because of the impact that Jesus has made on our lives, because of the experience that we've had with him, because we know his faithfulness, because we know his goodness, because we know his promises. Our trust is going to be in him and not in our circumstances. In other words, we don't react or respond or think like this season like everybody else does. And so this morning, just very simply, I want to remind us of three responses or three postures that we're going to take in the midst of this crisis or whatever season you may be finding yourselves in. If you are taking notes, go and write this in, is that we're going to choose faith over fear. We're going to choose faith over fear. Let me set a foundation for us. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says this. He says, I'm leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace that I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. We're not going to have fear. If you've been living with fear or anxiety about what's going on or where the economy is headed, I want to remind you of a gift that Jesus has for you today. It's a gift of his peace. And while the rest of the world may be responding with fear or anxiety, we get to open the gift of God's peace on a daily basis. God has peace available for you. Now, please hear this. We can take charge of our emotions because we know who is in control. We can take charge of our emotions because we know God's goodness. We know that God is not taken back or afraid or surprised by what's going on. We remember that God is always faithful, always good, and always in control. That way before we got in the middle of this problem, God already had a plan. And what the Bible says is that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. It also says that God is always working for good those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so I want you to remember that whatever you're going through, whatever battle you're facing, you can have faith because God is in control. Let me read another verse to you. It comes from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It says this. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. In other words, we're not walking around and living with this weight of fear, uncertainty. What's the spirit that God has given us? He's given us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. In other words, we're not panicking because we've got peace from heaven. We're not fearful. We live by faith. We're not responding based out of fear of what's going on around us because we step out of faith because of the God that's within us. I'll give you a practical example of this. As a pastor, I'm a part of the church world, and I'm hearing a lot of conversations from other pastors and churches. And one of the main concerns that people have is you know, what are we going to do about a loss of finances? Because we're not meeting together, tithes and offerings are going to be around, and so much of the conversation is centered around fear of a loss of income. And so we met as a leadership team, and we kind of came up with this audacious dream. We thought, you know, what if we chose to lead the way with kind of radical generosity, and we chose, instead of thinking, how can we get more money, we began thinking, what would happen if we gave 100% of our tithes and offerings away to benevolence and caring for our church community and our broader community, our neighbors? What would that look like? Instead of pulling back in fear, we're moving forward in faith. And I'll tell you what, that's saying, fear, you've got no place in this situation. Instead, we're going to trust that God is in control, and we're going to respond with audacious faith. Now, let me ask you a question. How do we respond when it feels like the world is falling apart? Well, I'll tell you, we don't respond like the rest of the world responds. We're not like the world. We don't think like the world. Number one, we're going to choose faith over fear. Here's the second point, if you're taking notes, is we're going to choose serving over just surviving. And I'll tell you, this is a mentality that we have. We're going to choose serving over just surviving, where the most of the rest of the world is saying, hey, survive and stock up and stay safe. We're seeing this season as a huge opportunity to serve. Last week, we talked about the amygdala hijack, where essentially we're living in survival mode constantly. But we're choosing to say, we're going to prepare and we're going to act with wisdom, but I'm choosing to look at the season in which, one of which we're going to serve. Now, what did Jesus say about serving? In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says this. He says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Serving, what Jesus shows us, that's our example. In fact, the Apostle Paul talks about it like this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, or 3 through 4. He says, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And now look what he said. Not, you know, go freak out, don't go buy all the toilet paper, don't hoard, baby, get all you can. He says this. He says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. In fact, when you look at history and you look at the first century church, you understand that the church was going through this extraordinary time of persecution. For many of them, because they were followers of Jesus, they lost their jobs. Some of them lost homes. Some of them lost family. Even some of them lost their own lives because they chose to follow Jesus. Let me tell you what they didn't do. They weren't rushing around to the Jerusalem Costco waiting in line for toilet paper and getting supplies and saying, hey, we better hunker down. Well, we've got to understand that as the body of Christ, and because of that, of what Jesus has done for us, that we are choosing to put others ahead of ourselves, that we've got this fantastic opportunity to serve. In fact, I love this story from the early church in Acts chapter 2, verse 44. It says this. It says, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. Now watch what they did. They didn't hoard. They weren't just looking to survive. They weren't looking to just protect themselves. Verse 45, it says, they sold their property and possessions and shared money with everybody, with those that were in need. And what I hope that you'll understand is that over the next few weeks or months or over this season of time, whatever amount of time we're in this crisis, you're going to have more opportunities to love and to give and to serve than maybe ever before in the history of the church. That you may end up having something that somebody else needs, and you're going to realize that God has blessed you in order that you can be a blessing to other people. And we're talking about materially, but not just material, but also spiritually speaking, that by faith there's going to be people that are around you that are hurting, that are afraid, and you can not just help them materially, but you can help them spiritually by speaking life and giving them hope. And where they're experiencing fear, you can speak faith into their life. You can give them friendship and companionship. When so many people are paralyzed by fear, you can be a person of faith in their life. Verse 46, it continues. It says, they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in the homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Let me ask you, how often did the church meet together? Right, it says, every day. Now, here's what I want you to know. That during this pandemic, your faith is either going to grow stronger or it's going to become weaker depending on your connectivity to other believers and followers of Jesus. You may say, but we can't meet together, or we can't meet in homes right now. And you need to know that we may need to be creative, but we can never allow ourselves to become complacent. And so instead of saying, you know, we can't meet physically, so I'm not going to do anything, we're going to say, hey, meeting together is so important that we will find a way. And I'll tell you, because of technology, there are so many ways that we can meet online. For some of you, we realize this is going to be a stretch, learning new technology and new tools. Others of you, it's going to be very intuitive and natural. Some of you will say, but you know, it's just not the same. But I'll tell you that God is not limited by time or space or technology. In fact, our limited situation, and I'm not just talking about right now, but in every situation that we're in, our limited situations are always a platform for God to magnify his power. That God is going to do something amazing and powerful in this as we choose to move forward in faith, as we choose to move forward in service. Acts chapter 46, let me continue. It says, they worshiped together at the temple every day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Here's my prayer for us, for you, for me, for Gateway, for the global church, is that in this season and in this period of history, that God would use his church to help more people find their way back to him than ever before. That God would use us so powerfully that as we engage, as we serve, as we love, as we give, as we respond with faith, that God would use us to impact the world. That they would be talking for generations to come about how the church responded to this crisis. Here's the third thing, if you're taking notes, is that we're going to choose to shine our light, not to hide it. This is the third posture. We're going to choose to shine our light. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. He said, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. And church, here's our assignment. Here's what we need to see. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That people would see what you do and how you love and how you serve and how you give. That it would lead to other people seeing how great God is. See, you are a light. You let it shine. You let it shine. Now, unfortunately, during this time, there's going to be so many people that are riddled with fear, that are feeling unsettled or anxious, and they're looking for somewhere to place their hope. The good news is that who are you? That you are the light of the world. That you are a bunch of radical, faith-filled, hope dealers, light shiners, love givers. Listen to me. This virus may be incredibly contagious, but I'm telling you, your love is even more contagious. Your hope is even more contagious. Your faith is even more contagious. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will use that. Because listen, whenever the world grows darker, the light of Jesus always shines brighter. What are we? We are light shiners. We are hope dealers. We are faith givers. That's who we are. We're the body of Christ. We don't hide our light. We let our light shine. We're different. We choose faith over fear. We choose serving over just surviving, and we're going to let our light shine. As we wrap up, I want to remind you of what we do not do. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus says this. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. What do we not do? We're not going to worry. We're not going to worry and stress out about what's happening and what's going on. What else do we not do? Galatians 6:9, it says, "So let us not get tired of doing what's good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up." What are we not going to do? We're not going to give up doing good. We're going to press forward with audacious faith. What else are we not going to do? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Some people have given up the habit of meeting together for worship, but we must not do that." What are we not going to do? We're not going to give up meeting together for worship. We're not going to stop meeting together. What else are we not going to do? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything." We're not going to give ourselves over to anxiety and fear. But what are we going to do? Well, the rest of that verse says this, "But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." We're going to pray. We're going to pray like never before. What else are we going to do? Colossians chapter 3, 2, it says, "So set your minds on things above and not on earthly things." And so we're gonna think about what God is doing in the midst of all of this, in the midst of the crisis, and not set our minds on social media and the latest bad news report, but we're gonna set our minds on things above. Now, is this a difficult time for many people? Absolutely it is. Are we facing something that we've never seen before? Yeah, of course we are. But you can take charge of your emotions because you know who's in control. That you know God is not surprised. God's not taken aback. God's not full of fear. We remember that because of who God is, we can be full of faith. That God is always in control. That God is always good. And so I want to tell you today that whatever you're going through, I want you to know that God loves you. That God is with you. That God has not left you. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God himself says, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." The apostle Paul, talking about God's love, he says this in Romans 8, he says, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, including the coronavirus, including social isolation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that's why, church, no matter what comes, because of Jesus, we will not be afraid. We're going to be the bet the farm kind of faith-filled people. We're going to serve like it's going out of style. And we're going to let our light shine like never before. I want to encourage you that as we end this morning, that you would turn up the volume, that you would take a moment right where you're at, that you would sing into your situation, that you would remind yourself of who God is. Hey, we are praying for you, we love you, and we're here for you.